is Hitting the Hardwood. From mock drafts to summer league, every detail that is the NBA draft can only be heard here. Hitting the Hardwood with Deshaun Tate and Gordon Robinson.
When you hear the sounds of sneakers squeaking on the hardwood floors, the nets swishing, random calls for and one, round balls bouncing,
man.
Point guards calling for outlets, that could only mean one thing. Deshaun Tate, they call me D-Tate. My boy G-Rob, Gordon Robinson.
What's happening?
Man, this is it's our last time around doing this, man. Last one of the season.
Feels like we just got started.
I know. It really does. It really does.
Like, it was just yesterday we were telling you who to look out for.
Yep.
Where we thought they would go.
Yeah.
And now look at us.
I know, man. It's heating up in the NBA. You're listening to Hitting the Hardwood.
Cuba Boys, the man. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
I know, man. I know. I just want to play the bed underneath, but instead we got this really awesome intro to play instead. Final episode, 30-minute podcast in the hardwood right now. Any and everything NBA draft, summer league. Very informative and educational content. The best right here on the planet, Hitting the Hardwood. Let's jump right into it, G-Rob. First things first.
I want to go back to you, man.
No doubt.
You know, I really am pretty envious of the trek you got to make and to be there live, kiss hands, shake babies, all of the above. You know, talk to rub elbows with GMs. Yes, I know I said kiss hands and shake babies.
Yeah.
But, you know, that experience alone, man, like many basketball fans don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just, you know, hats off to you, man, for just getting out there and being in that mix. Cause I know as a basketball guy, that's like hoop heaven,
man. It was and I appreciate that, man. It's a grind. We got to get G-Rob out there so we can take Hitting the Hardwood all the way out there.
I can hook it up. Hey, let's talk to the powers that be, man. I know how to hook up all the connections. You know, I'm the guy with the, you know, I know the plugs and the outlets and the ins and outs.
And we need to make that happen sooner than later.
It was
an awesome experience. Utah was everything that most people would probably think when you think Utah, if you've never been there before.
Right.
When you think Utah, that's pretty much exactly what Utah is. On the outside of that, if you've never been to Las Vegas and you think Las Vegas, that's probably exactly what you think it is, too. A lot of bikinis and pool parties.
That's my next thing. Did you hit a pool? Because I know some spots that, you know.
I hit the pool. I didn't really
get in.
That
are shirt optional for both sexes.
I hit the pool atmosphere just to kind of look around. I didn't really do too much laying out and jumping in the pool, and I just kind of took a little peek around, you know, at the hotel pool that I was at. Or I had a nice little view from my hotel window. That was probably all I really really needed.
At that point. Yeah.
Just to keep it funky.
Keep yourself out of trouble as well.
Keep NBA on the mind.
Right.
Didn't stay focused. Didn't do too much gambling and all that kind of stuff. But it was a cool experience. Hopefully it won't.
Sidebar though, really? At this, I guess I won't even say at this day and age, and maybe it's me being the age that I am now, I don't even think about gambling in Vegas. It's so much other stuff
going on. Mm-hmm. Shows.
Right.
And just,
shows. Mm-hmm. You have different parties. You have, like I said, we talked about all the other stuff that's going on. Like the days of, like, if you want to go just gamble, you can go down the street to like Biloxi, Shorter, Alabama.
I mean, it costs enough money to get all the way to the other side of the United States. You mean to tell me I'm going to spend even more money intentionally to lose it?
Just going to dump it down, you know, dump it down this sewer.
Yeah. That's what she said. But I'm going to tell you this much about Las Vegas, though, man, as far as the gambling thing. You know, I'm not really a big slots and machines and blackjack and Russian roulette. And I don't really get into that kind of stuff. I'm more into the sports book stuff, man, the basketball, the baseball.
And see, that's what you don't get here.
Yep.
Yeah. So exactly.
So I was excited to be a part of all that. And speaking of that, the 2018 NBA Summer League that took place over in Las Vegas. Going to give you guys some overall thoughts and talk about the first team, second team. We're going to break down a little bit of rookie of the year here, who we expect that it would be or project that it would be, most likely. Some immediate impact players, and if anybody necessarily stuck out and surprised you a little bit. So wherever you want to go with this, G-Rob, this is your baby right now. Wherever you want to touch on, let's go ahead and make it happen right about now.
Well, I mean, I didn't really separate them because after a while they both kind of meshed to me, you know, both because I think they overlapped for a second a hot second. The
summer leagues.
The summer leagues.
No. The Utah ended on Thursday, and the
It was just me because I was doing so much running around.
Yeah, Vegas started on Friday.
So and then I was just like I said, I was just rushing. So, I really did not have a guy that I specifically said. Well, first I'll start with I didn't see a particular player that shot up the map to me.
Okay.
You know, there wasn't a guy that I said, you really didn't think he would do too much, and then he just broke out, and you're like, oh, well, damn, I didn't see that in him, you know.
That's right.
You had guys who you thought that would perform. I mean, whether it was Aiden, whether it was – and, you know, I'd been preaching Wendell Carter for a while.
Yes,
you have. I thought he was a good talent, and he showed that he was pretty good. I think the pro game would suit him. I'll go with Knox, though.
Kevin Knox.
Knox, like a rim attacker.
Mm-hmm.
Like none other. I think he really, if there was a player that made a name for himself.
It was Kevin Knox.
It was Kevin Knox, man.
Okay. Okay.
So I'll start there. And yeah, that'll be, he's getting my vote.
I'm glad that you mentioned something about Kevin Knox because the All-NBA Summer League first teamers, Wendell Carter Jr. from Chicago, from the Bulls, Josh Hart for the Lakers, who ultimately became the MVP of the Summer League.
Right.
Kevin Knox.
Had LeBron dancing over there.
Man, dude, super happy to be a part of that.
LeBron looked like, I can work with this.
Kevin Knox for the Knicks. We just spoke upon Colin Sexton for the Cavs. Christian Wood for the Bucks. Now the NBA All-Summer League second team, DeAndre Ayton from Phoenix. Wade Baldwin the fourth for the Blazers. Jaren Jackson Jr. for the Grizzlies. Svi Mykhailiuk from the Lakers. And Trae Young for our Atlanta Hawks. Now, as far as just some of the surprises and different things that I shook out as I'm looking at this first and second team, Wendell Carter did an exceptional job, and I always thought that he would be the guy that'll be solid, but I wasn't really sure that I was going to be able to say that he would look this good. And that's kind of the same way that I feel with a guy like a Kevin Knox because, you know, he kind of playing with a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
When he got drafted, everybody, of course, typical Knicks fans on draft night, booing him, wanted Michael Porter Jr., a guy we still haven't seen yet, just had another surgery recently. Knox looked really, really good for them.
Right.
Showed a lot of those flashes when he was at Kentucky, but you just really didn't know what you were going to get from him there at Kentucky. Feeling the same way about him approaching the summer league and in the NBA, and he completely showed out. Colin Sexton did what we thought Sexton would probably do.
And the thing about Colin, man, I think that most NBA scouts fell in love with prior to the draft was his intensity. The thing that he brings that intensity to the game. He brings that competitiveness.
Yes.
And the defense. He was a meme for a while around the sports world.
Yes, he was.
With his defensive stance.
Yeah, like he was riding a motorcycle.
And the look in his eye, like he was all about it.
I love it.
So that's what they fell in love with, man. And I think that's what you're going to get. The only thing about Colin is over an 82-game stretch will that kind of burn out. You know, that's the only thing. And the only reason why I say that is because does he have enough around him that he can continue that? Because if you're the only guy on the team, knowing what we know about the Cleveland Cavaliers,
mm-hmm.
If he's the only guy, J.R. Smith isn't going to go out there and put together a doggone defensive, you know, he's not going to defensive stand and slap the floor and pull up his shorts and be ready. Kyle Korver is not going to lock anybody down.
Could you even imagine that from Kyle Korver?
You see what I'm saying? Knowing what we know, like, I mean, you still have other guys out there, some younger players. I just point them out because I like to poke fun at they should be getting rid of them. But yeah. But will that candle burn out though? Like, will that, like, over the course of the season? Because it's his first season.
Personally, I don't think that it will for a couple reasons. Number one, that's just who he is by nature.
Right.
That's just him. That's Colin Sexton in the summer league. That's
going to
be Young Bull. I got my T-shirt on the way. By the way, I got me a Be a Bull.
Okay.
T-shirt on the way. I got to support the young homies. Atlanta area.
I think I talked to his pops right at the All-American game, and
they
had all the apparel, you know.
Shout out to Darnell Sexton, yeah. Man. Shout out to Darnell Sexton. Super cool parents, man. Trae Young's dad, very super cool as well. Shout out to him too. But as far as Colin goes, I mean, that's just Colin. Let me tell you something. That's Colin Sexton in the NBA this season.
Right.
That's Colin Sexton in the Summer League. That's Colin Sexton Alabama. When he didn't have anybody around him when he was at Pebblebrook.
Same three on thing five at Alabama.
Three on five at Alabama. That's Colin Sexton in the local community church league. That's just who Colin Sexton is. And he didn't really have a lot of people around him when he was in high school, and he still kind of kept that energy. And let's be honest, it wasn't Alabama football. It was Alabama's basketball team. Exactly. And they didn't really have that kind of talent around them either. Now, one thing that did kind of surprise me a little bit is I thought that the start that DeAndre Ayton got off to, that he would be a first teamer, and all the work that he was putting in, especially the highly anticipated game where he played up against the Sacramento Kings and Marvin Bagley III.
Did you see, side note, you see my boy looking, he's looking decent now.
Which boy is
this? You clowned me last year. For the Harry.
Harry Giles, come on now.
You clown me last
I'll give
year.
Harry Giles his 10 points and seven rebounds in the summer league.
I'm not saying that the guy is going to be doggone.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
I'm just saying.
But
guys
before
got some
I,
talent.
I think the, and this is a fair assessment, I'll say this much about the summer league because I know we seem like we're kind of all over the place right now.
We're just excited.
One thing that, we love this hoops, man. If they're ball bouncing is here in the United States, we're following where the ball is.
Man.
If the ball is bouncing on the moon, G Rob and D Tate is going to the moon.
I tell my boys, I say, look, I watched some 10-year-olds out in the yard playing.
That's right.
I can tell you who's got game, who will be okay.
Wheelchair basketball, if I have
to.
But I will say this much is that, and this kind of goes back to the whole, people downing Trae Young because he didn't necessarily play as well, especially in Utah. And the same thing about, whether it be DeAndre Ayton playing really well or whether it be Harry Giles finally get a chance to see what he looks like. I think summer league is exactly what it is. It's something you don't want to put too much stock into, and it's something that you don't want to put like no stock into. It's a lose-lose situation.
True.
For anybody, because if someone goes out there and they're expected to do all these miraculous things and they don't perform
Right.
People are going to say, dang, he can't even do this in the summer league. He's going to have a tough time when he gets to the NBA.
Well,
but then if he goes out there and excels and looks really well, people are going to say, it's
summer league.
But it's the summer league.
But I throw that out there too because I remember a friend of mine, he's kind of a friend. We know each other fairly indirectly. But Deion Glover averaged like 20 points in summer league.
Oh, yeah, Deion Glover. Yeah. Cincinnati? No.
No. When he was with the Hawks, but he went to, Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Georgia Tech.
I'm mixing it up a little bit.
But and while we're still on the first and second team, I do want to give your guys some shine because I liked him.
Triple J.
I liked him.
Triple J.
I liked him. But I didn't see it. Like, I didn't see the D, like the blocks. And, the defense that he put up, man, he really opened my eyes. That would be my 1B. If Knox is my 1A, then Triple J, your boy, would be my 1B.
Ain't nothing but a Sparty party. but this is just one of my little takeaways that I saw about Jaren. And I think you can say this pretty much about just about everybody. Is that nobody looked extremely consistent from the time that it started until the time it ended. I think the most people that really did was probably Wendell Carter, probably
right.
Colin Sexton, DeAndre Ayton.
And Ayton had his moments.
I mean, he had his moments.
Yeah, Ayton had his moments. Like, I think the thing that you wanted to see, which if you're looking at with coach eyes, that you want to see the capability, and I think I talked to Rick Campbell and shouts out to Rick
Cam.
We talked about it, and I was telling him he asked me about Trae Young sitting out the last game.
He wasn't a fan of that
at all. Not at all.
No, he took that one personal. I talked to him the day of, and he was livid. I'm like, dang, bro, like, I don't make the decisions.
But I got it. But like I told him, more basketball is always good because you always want to see, like you said. There, you may have a half where you shine and you do what you want to do in the half where you may not, but that you can take more from the half where you showed all your tools and use that. Because as a player, I know that you're capable of it. It's not just something that you just did because you were playing against smaller, slower guys.
If we're talking about NBA GM G Rob,
right?
Were you playing him on that day? Trae Young?
Because I would have played him. Yeah, I would have.
Why?
Just because it's a tournament and I want to see you in that type of scenario.
So you don't feel like you've seen enough out of Trey?
I had seen enough, but I want to see you in that type. Because
he was coming off of two really good back-to-back games.
He was coming off two games.
After struggling.
And aside from that, you had already deactivated John Collins also.
Tyler Dorsey, if I'm not mistaken, at that point.
So in that realm, there was really no need for him to play. But I would have liked for them to play in those type of scenarios where we can see who's going to win and how much your competitive juices are flowing. You know, I don't think that he's going to go out there and do the Colin Sexton and flex up on defense.
Nah, that's not Trey.
But I would like for him to go out there, and if someone's trying to give him the business on the offensive end, I'd like to see him go and attack him on the offensive end his damn self.
I respect that. They need to stop killing my boy Trey, man, because I came back to Atlanta and it was just on fire. I'm like, I didn't even think people in Atlanta cared this much about basketball, everybody's killing Trey.
Well, what happened was that first game.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yep. And nobody else paid attention to anything else.
Shot like 5 for 20. Right. And then the next day, 3 for 16 or something crazy.
And it was like, oh, here we go. See, we told you. Steph Curry, huh?
And I think, and we're getting into that a little bit more towards as we get into our Hawk Talk part of a segment of the show. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are saying he's either going to be boom or bust. He's either going to be Steph Curry-ish, Steph Curry-like. Or like Jimmer Fredette. I think what's fair is somewhere right.
Ooh,
I think
that's
really bad. That's really bad.
Jimmer Fredette.
That's really bad. That stinks. That is garbage. That is atrocious. But I think what's fair is to at least be able, and I'm not saying this is ceiling, but I'm saying to at least be able to fairly give him Trey Burke-ish.
Well, I think to me, the whole thing about it is you have to, it's an adjustment, man. I mean, especially for a guy his size, he plays fast, and sometimes you playing fast, if the game is moving fast, you have to play. And this is why I say you have to play more basketball to slow the game down as you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going 100 miles an hour and the game is going 100 miles an hour, then the vision might not be there as much. So the passes aren't as accurate. The shots aren't falling like they should be. And I think that's what happened. The game started to slow down for him while he's still going at his pace. So while he's still going, his shot started falling more. The passes started because him and John Collins were in sync almost for a few of those games.
They're on point.
So I think it started slowing down for him, and I think that's going to happen in the season. During the season, I think that's what we can expect, that it may be rocky the first few games, and there's going to be times where if we – without getting into Hawk Talk, once again, we referenced it. But there's going to be times where you're going to have games where they look like a hell of a 1-2 punch, and you throw in Torian Prince in there. They're going to look like a hell of a team. But there's going to be some games where you see struggles.
We'll talk about that here in a second. A couple little notable things from the Summer League that stuck out and finishing up on the first and second team, all Summer League team, as far as some things that some guys did well. One guy that did surprise me, and I've given him a little bit of crap, and he did surprise me, is Svi Mykhailiuk that was a player at Kansas and on that Los Angeles Lakers Summer League. And what they got between him and Mo Wagner, I think, is going to be excellent because they don't have a ton of shooters over there. But Mykhailiuk looked really good. Obviously, Josh Hart looked good too, but Josh Hart came out as a first-team All-American.
And he was expected to
kind of do that, and probably shouldn't have been playing in the Summer League at a certain point after the first few games. But however, Mykhailiuk, a guy that is he's not necessarily athletically challenged, but you just don't think athleticism when you think of him either.
Right.
You think jump shooter, and that's exactly what he went out there and did. On top of that, and I'm still trying to put some things together here as far as the Summer League goes.
Lonnie Walker
looked good.
Lonnie Walker
looked good. Trayvon Blewett. who went undrafted.
Yeah, there you go.
A lot of people. Yeah. I mean, at one point, he was up there averaging somewhere close to like 27 a game per summer league. And there's some guys that we didn't see, and this is just to be fair to them. But at the same time, I would have liked to see. I would have liked to see a little bit more of Dante DiVincenzo.
Okay. Yeah.
This Mitchell Robinson, I would have liked to see a little bit.
It's a little bit. Yeah.
Some pieces, some flashes here and there. I would have certainly liked to see, obviously, the two guys that we figured we might, but was really unsure. Luka Doncic, Michael Porter Jr. And I think, you know, as unfair as it is, Trae Young and how, you know, he does in the NBA is going, a lot of it is going to be determined and measured up against what Luka Doncic, considering that trade, you know, what the thoughts would be in consideration of what, you know, if you thought it was a good pick or not.
On a side note, is that fair? I mean, I know that we do this. We do this all the time. We do it in the NBA. We do it in the NFL. But is it fair?
I don't think so. I don't even like the idea of it. I don't like the idea of if Trae Young is a quote unquote, and we won't know this. You shouldn't judge none of these guys from just year one. But if he turns out to be the four letter B word,
right?
And then. You know, Luka Doncic looks outstanding. I don't think that it's fair. There's just something about that I don't like because everybody works in different systems.
Well, number one, you have to. There you go. You just
systems,
said it.
Different systems.
One, you have to fit within the system.
Correct.
And you really don't know until about, you know, the extent, until their careers are over. You know, you really can't say if Trae Young has a 14, 15 year career and, you know, And Doncic has a 10, 11, 12 year career, and then you can say, you can kind of compare the guys and put them together and say what they did and where they played, if they bounced around here or there, or if they stuck with one team. And you can kind of gauge it that way. But that, to say that after year one, to say that after, you know, a few games, I'm sure that it'll be a topic on a lot of websites around here, around town, and as well as around the nation about when they come out, just because of the trade that took place. But to say that, I think a lot of times journalists are reaching for something to write about. But, I mean, I just don't think it's fair. I think you can't tell until, like, the careers are pretty much done.
And this is something else that maybe a lot of people aren't going to think about is with that trade at number three when the Hawks picked up, as we're transitioning now, I think it's fair, into our Hawk Talk segment, you know, when picking up Luka Doncic for the Hawks and then they traded – not only did the Hawks get the number five pick with Trae Young, but they also got a first round pick. So let's just say Trae Young, let's just example. Let's say he turns out after his first year or his first 3 years to be a, let's just go with the first 3 years. Judging his first 3 years, let's say Trae Young is a B-.
Okay.
And Luka Doncic is the stud at a solid A or A-, right? This is going to obviously look like, you know, Luka Doncic gets the edge there.
Right.
But with that extra first round pick that comes along with it, what if that guy turns out to be a B or an A?
If you turn him into something.
Exactly. Then it outweighs. And especially then you add Amari Spell. You know, you it just kind of depends. So considering all things, what will do you think that Trae Young will be ready? Do you trust Trae Young? And what grade do you give him based on what you saw from him in the summer league?
Well, I'll take that B. I'll stick with that B because, like I just said earlier, I think he's going to have his highs and his lows as he gets adjusted to the game, you know, and that's going to take time. And luckily, I don't know if you've been paying attention, Hawks fans, but I don't think you're in contention for the Eastern Conference Finals this season.
Absolutely not.
So you're going to have time that he can take his lumps. And I think with the getting rid of Dennis Schroeder is going to allow him that time. You know, I think that's going to help him out. And that's what he needs. More basketball, the better. I keep saying it. You know, the more basketball that you can play, the easier it is to adjust to the game. And that's what you need to do. And that's how he'll get comfortable. So after year one, maybe Luka's better after year one. But in year two, once the game has come and
Trae starts settling in.
And Trae knows what to expect. He knows how to get his body into shape. He knows what, you know, and keep that quickness. maybe he'll start to emerge as the better guy. And keep in mind, we're saying this without even seeing Luka on a summer league floor for anything else.
Right, and that's the thing about it is that we haven't seen anything from Luka.
Exactly.
Luka could, you know, as many people are saying, well, Trey's just really average. He's a C or a C-plus maybe. Who knows? Luka Doncic might be an A. Luka Doncic, we might not have even see Luka Doncic this season. Of course, I'd like to think that we will, but who knows what we'll get out of that. And it's not just a comparison between Trey Young and Luka Doncic that Trey Young might be judged by. We may also see him being judged by between he and Colin Sexton as the two top point guards in this draft
right.
class that were clearly, you know, leaps and bounds above everybody else. Or it might be the Trae Young, Jaren Jackson Jr. comparison because they passed up essentially on Jaren Jackson Jr., who went number four to the Grizzlies, for Trae Young at number five. But I will say this much, as far as a grade, and I really hate to give a grade, but I think at very best, I'd probably give Trae Young a B minus.
Okay.
I'm somewhere between B minus and C plus. Obviously, he has to get like a C plus or a C somewhere right up around there, based on the fact of you know, his shooting percentage.
Well,
and he didn't shoot the ball well. But where a lot of people were concerned about him defensively, I think there's definitely some concerns there. That's his size. He can't help that until he hit his man weight. But you didn't necessarily notice that. You know, like he didn't belong out there defensively. And where I can appreciate Trae Young is for those of you who understands this game, and if you don't, I'm glad you listen to this podcast because we do. A point guard is meant to be able to understand the strengths and weaknesses of everybody on the team,
exactly.
Where everybody needs the ball, where they can, you know, be able to utilize their strengths the most. So it's about facilitating as well as scoring. When people hear Trae Young, they only heard about the scoring. They forget that Trae Young led the nation in scoring and assists. He distributed the ball well. He got Collins involved. He got the ball to his three-point shooters. He facilitated the ball very well. I mean, he did the duties of a point guard to an A, to the point of an A. He didn't shoot the ball well, and if the best shooter in this class did not shoot the ball well, and that's your biggest gripe for him, then I think he's going to be okay because at some point that shot will fall.
Well, to piggyback off of that, and this is another thing that I was going to say, what I also liked about him was that he seems like a likable guy. You know, he wasn't this diva that was sitting off by himself while his teammates were playing basketball. He was on the bench laughing, joking, talking, and he, you know, the guys liked being around him. And that's major, you know, because the guy that just went out the door that we just sent to Oklahoma City, I don't know if anybody liked being around him.
It was clear. I was in those locker rooms a lot of times for these Hawks games, down there in the locker room reporting on
right.
the court, so on and so forth. And when the guys were in the locker room and they were joking around, this isn't a knock on Shooter. I don't know Shooter like that. But, you know, when
it's just like he had his own thing going.
He had his own thing. He was like the outcast.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, I'm from Germany. I don't really fool with y'all like that. Not to say he said that because he didn't, but it just kind of seemed like he got his own thing going.
Right.
And the other guys were, you know, whether they're clowning around or having fun or just communicating, regular communication, that's not something that you typically saw a Dennis Schroeder engaging in. Now, speaking about Dennis Schroeder, in case you've been living under a rock in the last 24 hours.
Welcome.
Dennis Schroeder has been moved from the Atlanta Hawks roster over to the Oklahoma City Thunder in
right.
exchange for Carmelo Anthony, in which I think everybody would agree, I hope, and assume that Carmelo Anthony is going to be bought out by the Atlanta Hawks. He's going to be waived. He'll never play
as well
in
as Mike
Phillips
Muscala.
Arena in regards to in a Hawks uniform. As well, like you said, Mike Muscala, who's been moved to the Thunder, but now has been moved to the Philadelphia 76ers. So that's how that all goes down. Carmelo Anthony's $28 million is expiring contract. Will be bought out so that he can be on the free agent market, whether that be to the Houston Rockets or wherever he decides to go, Miami Heat or whatever, will be waived by the Atlanta Hawks. Like I said, become a free agent. The Hawks, in return, receive a 2022 projected first-round pick, which is between
lottery,
you know,
protected, right?
Lottery,
okay.
Yep, 1 through 14. The Oklahoma City Thunder received Dennis Schroeder and I can't pronounce it. Timothy Luwawu is his name. The Hawks also on the back end of that received Justin Anderson,
from
who I think
Philly.
Will help. Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, from Philadelphia, who I think will help them defensively. He's another young piece. He was a really big part of that Virginia team that went.
He's a 3-and-D guy.
A 3-and-D guy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really a good pickup for them. He can be a really good piece for them. So what do you personally feel is the great decision by Travis Link and the Hawks front office management, the decision to do this, and what the benefits of all of this are, considering – you won't get to see Carmelo Anthony. So for the people who are like, you know, we want to win now. It's a microwave society. We want Carmelo Anthony. Why get rid of him when you have the opportunity? Talk those people off the edge.
You weren't winning with Carmelo Anthony regardless.
True.
So first of all, if the goal of the offseason was to draft the best talent and then get rid of the guy who didn't want to be in the locker room, who's already talked about playing for different teams and different organizations, then you get an A because that's what you did.
That's right.
And so for OKC, you took their problems and we gave them ours. But ours is going to linger around for a longer time because he was still on the hook for another 2 years, two or three seasons.
That is correct. So I think he's at 40, somewhere right around $45 million over the course of another like
two or three years right.
Where Carmelo's 1 year deal for $28 million, what you do is if you're the Hawks, you swallow, and I'm just want to make sure we're on the same page, you swallow that pill now of that $28 million, and then you get all of that back,
and then you have about $45 million next year to come out with a booming free agent class.
Correct. And you got $17 million to play with in between after canceling out the Melo plus the Schroeder. Eventual Schroeder deal.
So you weren't going to play with Melo. Like Melo he doesn't want to be here. He's at this point, I think he's trying to go.
He might want to be here, just not in the Hawks uniform.
Exactly. I think he's trying to go with his boy, you know, Chris Paul, and they've talked about this already. It's already seemed like it's been mapped out. So he's going to go here, or he's going to go kick it on South Beach with his boy Wade. You know what I'm saying? So either way, he wanted to go and be comfortable around friends, and you didn't want to put him in this young locker room. That's not what you wanted to do. Melo in this locker room wasn't going to produce W's. That's not a win now moment. So what you wanted him to do, you wanted him to come in. You, like you just said, you take that $27-28 million cap hit. You look forward because you weren't going to burn up the charts right now anyway. You weren't going to go ahead and go on a win streak and be a 45-win basketball team. So you go ahead, you take those lumps, you let Jeremy Lin, you let Trae Young run your one, you let these young guys come in, find their roles, get comfortable with each other.
That's right.
And then you start to add the pieces to it because like we talked about a little earlier, you've got draft picks coming.
Absolutely. And you got plenty of money to play with.
And everybody you got
else
cap room.
Yeah, because everybody else that's going at some point after this whole Kent Bazemore thing is all finalized and settled. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, as an insider that they're about to try and get rid of him, but I will say from a Tate's take standpoint that might be kind of ideal after you clear out that, what is this? I think he's got two more years on the contract,
right.
$70 million. So what is that? What, about 35 left?
Is it 70 million?
I think it was four. Yeah.
Jeez.
$70 million over four.
So he probably still has 35.
About 35 left.
35.
Because he's done his two.
Okay. Yeah.
So now he's got two more coming. If I'm not mistaken, that could be totally wrong because I'm not good at math.
No.
If you ask me what's 2 + 2, I might tell you 22. But regardless of the fact, like after that, all you're doing is paying guys, either A, rookie contract money.
Right.
Or B, guys that are not going to be worth a whole lot more than rookie contract money
and
at that point.
You were, like I said, we were looking to get rid of Schroeder. And while Schroeder, yes, neither one of us are saying that Schroeder's a bad player.
Sure.
Schroeder's a hell of a basketball player.
I really
player.
Think he is.
You know, and maybe this might be what he needs to kind of humble himself a little bit so that he can step back and get himself in check because Schroeder had a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And going to maybe come off the bench at OKC, maybe something better for him. And then, you know, coming in and maybe spelling Russell Westbrook and maybe them two playing together and you knowing definitely you're the third or fourth option in the offense that you're running when you are on the floor. it will humble you a little bit, and you will kind of you will focus to get into and maintain a teammate atmosphere.
I'm going to tell you what else that he may not have a choice but to do, and this is no disrespect to the people who ever come from the OK, including Trae Young, but there's not a whole lot for him to kind of get into in comparison to being in Atlanta versus being in Oklahoma City. It's a little bit different.
Hey, the Applebee's, they open at 10.
Oh, does it?
I think so.
That ain't really all that late.
I think you know, if you want to just hang out in OKC, man, I think, you know, you can hit it up. They got a Hooters.
But they ain't got no Waffle House or nothing?
Hey.
No White Castles or nothing?
Waffle House, you know. You talking about staying out all night now, man. I don't know.
That's drunk food right there, we talking about. I think I just kind of let everybody know what we do on our time outside.
Hey, man, we in Atlanta. Stop
really
judging.
Awesome podcast, man. You know, I said White Castle. You ain't going to find none of that around here. It get real.
But, I mean, Crystal is essentially, it's not the same thing, but it's the same premise. It's the same premise. It's not the same thing. It's the same premise. I'm saying, I mean, Square Burger, same premise. It don't taste the same. I'll give that to you. It don't taste the same. I don't like Crystal, but that's a side note. I mean,
White Castle would change your life, boy. I know a lot of people would disagree. I'm a Midwest dude. Outside of that, let's get into this real quick because this is going to kind of finalize a little bit in regards to our very last podcast. And let's package these things up a little bit. Do you feel good about the Hawks' direction that they're going in? And the things that you saw from John Collins, I think they might have played him maybe a little bit too long. But I do understand from a front office standpoint on the reason behind it, because you do want to establish something between him and Trae Young.
Yeah, you
want to
get a rapport going.
Exactly. That is concrete. And then we have to get into our rookie of the year, which, very simply, I think I might have to just go with –
Hold it. Hold on to it for just a second.
All right, let's do it.
So this is what we'll do. This is what I'm saying. As of right now, man, like, yes, I love the direction in which the Hawks are going. Like, everybody talks about us getting Schlink and everything from Golden State, and we're trying to follow the Golden State model, of basketball and the way they GM the team. And even you can draw the comparisons to Draymond and Clay and the stuff, and you can draw those comparisons. But I like the comparison better of how he's following along with what Danny Ainge did, how he's collecting those draft picks. And you're giving yourself options. And that's the big thing. Like, we could have three possible first round picks in next year's draft if everything falls the right way.
That's true.
So you're giving yourself options. So if there's a guy, if you have three picks and they're not the most desirable picks, you can package two of them up and move around a little bit. That's or right. You can give two away and a trade and bring something back. So I like that. It gives you options. It gives you flexibility. I always will take that every day of the week. And seeing as how I'm not mad at all about the talent that we brought in, like, even though we didn't get to watch Herter, but I'm not mad at all about the talent that we brought in. And if you're adding and you keep adding, I think we're moving in the right direction.
I can agree with that. I feel like they're moving in the right direction, too. Maybe not necessarily from a production standpoint that you're going to see guys go out there and you know, going to give you, 30 a game and this and that. For the people who's thinking win now, you may not necessarily see it. But there's a lot of things that as you get older and you kind of realize, especially if you're watching basketball and paying close attention, if you're a diehard hoop head like we are, then you will understand how this business works. When you start looking at it from a business standpoint,
you have to look below the surface.
You start to see what they're doing, and then they're going to be able to, you know, hopefully if they're getting some really good production and seeing some flashes out of Trae Young, same thing with Omari Spellman. We don't know what Kevin Herter is going to be yet. Prince is still a really young player here.
And then
John Collins
player.
Is right, a very productive player. And then you have John Collins as well, who's looking really, really good.
Right.
All these guys can only do is continue to build, grow, get some chemistry under their belts, get better, and then you're just adding more younger pieces with these young picks that they have if they decide to keep them. Who knows? Zion Williamson, we don't know who. But in the end, you still have all these money from these contracts that you've either A, gotten rid of or not having to pay guys a ton, and maybe be able to bring in another somewhat of a big name the way that you did Joe Johnson a while back.
Well, and I like to alert basketball fans to say, you are looking at Flash right now in terms of what's going on in free agency. Stop it. Because keep in mind, for all that you see, the Kevin Durant acquisition, the Boogie Cousins acquisition, Golden State did this through the draft. So if you think Philly's a good team, Philly's doing this through the draft. If you think Boston's a good team right now, you think they're the front runner to win the East, they did it through the draft. Yes, they added Kyrie Irving, but they did it through the draft. These guys, the Tatums, the Browns.
Smart.
They got them through the draft. Mm-hmm. And this is the process that takes place. So I see, I understand you see the different free agent splashes that's going on. You see Kawhi Leonard going to Toronto. You see, like I said, all these big names swapping jerseys. But hold on. Our time is coming because you're developing the talent that future superstars, either you're developing future superstars or you're developing the talent that future superstars are going to want to play with.
Last but finally not least, who you got for rookie of the year?
I got to go Colin.
Man, you took my – come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Got him.
That boy been reading my mind, man, over here. Did you see – let me – look through my notes, make sure I ain't have it written down somewhere. I knew you was over here paying close attention to my notes.
You've been in Vegas, but I count the cars, baby.
I'm going to tell you what, as bad as I want to go Aiden, I want to go Bagley, I feel like I got to go Colin right now. I'm riding that wave. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have necessarily said Colin Sexton before I saw what he was able to do at the Summer League. And maybe that might be me putting too much stock into the Summer League like we talked about before, that which is probably really dangerous to do. But it's funny, man. We're going out with a bang, man. D-Tate and G-Rob, man, both picking Colin Sexton for rookie.
And I really think just because his game is that of he's not just – like I think he was thought of as primarily a scorer.
Sure.
And – yes, he can score. I think he'll add to his game. I think he'll add more to his game in terms of scoring because it's going to be more difficult for him to get to the rim like he likes to. Mm-hmm. So he'll have to find more creative ways to score. But he's a guy who's coachable, and he'll take that. He'll take what Ty Lue can be able to teach him, and he'll take that and he'll be able to apply it. You know, he's not one of those guys who thinks that he has the complete game, and he'll take that. He'll apply it. And with that competitiveness that he already has that we talked about earlier, I think that will push him through. And I think that he will probably be a more consistent player than a DeAndre Ayton, simply because Ayton is going to find matchups where he may they can kind of make him disappear. You know, there'll be games where you can have matchups that he'll almost look like Karl Anthony Towns. How he did in the playoffs.
That's right.
You know, so there'll be different matchups where teams can say if he's hurting teams, that they can pick up the pace a little bit and he can play at a faster pace, but they'll be able to match up to where you can kind of make him almost ineffective.
Hurting teams and ineffective sounds so much like Carmelo Anthony when
that's my boy, man. That's my dog.
When Allen Iverson was in Memphis and yeah, but what you just did just then?
What up?
You just concluded the very last episode of season two. There you go.
Too much. With me, the memories.
See, if I get on there, man, I might have to. I might have some people jealous, man. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
I don't want nobody throwing their panties and nothing up here towards my way. I don't want to have to break my singing skills.
I never made the mistake of thinking that I was a swooner, a crooner. Not your boy.
Yeah, I've made that mistake, and that's why I'm doing this, talking basketball on here, having everybody enjoying it, man. Appreciate everybody that's tuned in with us from the very first episode in season one to the very last episode of season two. We'll be back next episode with season three of Hitting the Hardwood. Catch us stills, not going anywhere. Catch us on Twitter. That is at Hit Hardwood 929. Let me try this again. At HITHARDWOOD 929. And of course, me, Deshaun Tate, your boy D Tate, at Tate's Take Sports. That's TATESTAKE Sports. And per usual, if you can't spell sports, man, you probably, I ain't got nothing.
Leave the social media alone. It's not for you.
No, it's not. It's not. It's really not.
And then you can check me out, man, at G Robinson Sports on Twitter and at G Robinson_sports on the IG.
appreciate everybody for listening, man. Until next year's Summer League draft, free agency, around this time next year, 365 days from now, we will see you then.
Catch you on the flip side.
In a minute.